John chapter 12. And we're going to start our reading at verse 20. John 12 and 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew. And again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. Before this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and hid himself from them. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 36, trusting the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. This morning I want us to take as our text that 26th verse where the Lord Jesus says, If any man serve me, let him follow me. I want us to think this morning on the answer to the question, Am I really a follower? Am I really a follower? Before we go further, let's just ask the Lord to bless our time and to speak to our hearts from the Word. Father in heaven, now we come again to that time when Thou hast appointed for the Word of God to be considered and heard by these who are gathered in Thy name. Lord, it is our prayer that Thou wilt now let the Word do its rich work, its powerful work. We would pray that Thou wilt use the Word through the Spirit of God to not just teach us, but to draw us. We would pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst cause us to be those who hear, and may we be those who accept and believe that which Your Word holds for us. Bless this time. Bless these who are gathered before you. Help me as thy servant, I would pray. Give me strength of mind and heart. And Lord, may the Spirit of God be the preacher in this hour. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Much has been made, and much can be made, of the question of the Greeks that sought the Lord Jesus that day. The desire to see Christ is a desire that has nothing to compare with it for importance. Whether these men sought the Lord out of curiosity or out of an earnest desire to learn the truth is hard to tell. But one thing is very clear, and that is the Lord Jesus made the way in which any man would see and learn of him very plain from the outset of the encounter. The Lord Jesus spells out that there was only one way in which a man would come to him and ultimately know the benefit of his truth. That man had to come in the way that the Lord establishes rather than coming in the way of his own inclinations. The man that would be the servant of the Lord says plainly, and be where the Lord is, must come in the way that the Lord prescribes. He must follow Christ. He must follow Christ. But I will underscore with you this morning that the man must follow Christ in the way that Christ prescribes. That same truth is presented in John 10. We read it this morning. When the Lord speaks to the Pharisees, there he speaks of the sheep that follow unto life. But he speaks of the way in which life is obtained in emphatic terms. Because he says in verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In our reading, the Lord Jesus becomes very specific about the way in which he will be leading the sheep. As you look through these verses, you will come to the very quick conclusion that the Lord sets his instruction in the way of suffering and death. The words that he speaks about the corn of wheat, and the words about a man losing his life, indicate that the way in which he will lead any man through to eternal life is through death. And that this same way will be that which is required of those that are truly his. Yet, those that he leads to that place need fear no evil, for he is with us. Even though he leads us through that way, which we would say is a hard way, a dark way, the valley of the shadow of death, we are comforted, for his rod and his staff, they are with us. They comfort us. The point that the Lord makes plain to these who would see him is that to see him and to know his truth requires that we hear his voice and follow him. Well, the question might arise from this truth. What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus? What does it mean to follow Christ? And even in more pointed and earnest question is this. Are you really following Christ? May the Lord help us as we would seek to answer those questions. You know, such a question as I had just asked, in fact, the last one may seem to be somewhat startling and to some may even sound offensive. Offensive to the pride of a man's heart. But I say to you this morning that the question is vital. Are you really following Christ? My proposition to you, that which I seek to prove, is this. The following of Christ is only the act of the sheep, but is true of all sheep. Only those who are Christ's follow him. But there's not one of those who are Christ's that does not follow him. Let's consider the question again. What does it mean to follow the Lord Jesus? Well, I say that there are some absolute and always present characteristics of following. So we will go through and I will list some for you. And again, I don't pretend to say that my list is completely the exhaustive list, but I will suggest to you some things. First, I will suggest to you that following is a desire. It is a desire. The plain truth of the whole matter is that if a man is truly belonging to the Lord Jesus and is saved in truth, he will want to be where Jesus is. He will want to be with Christ. He will want to go in that direction that the Lord goes. He will want to be where the Lord shows himself to be. I say this is the inference, if not the plain statement, that the Lord makes in the latter part of our text. When he talks about where he is, his servant will be. Though this is a promise of a future fellowship, the desire of both Savior and Saint, understand this, the desire of Christ as well as those who are truly saved is that where one is, the other will be. That where Christ is, we want to be there. But where we are, that's where Christ wants to be. Does not John 17 tell us that plainly? Father, I will that these whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Let me be very plain. There is no salvation. There is no faith. And there is not a change of the inner man where salvation, faith, and the renewed man do not yearn after the Lord Jesus. If you are Christ's, you will follow. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. There's a yearning to be with Jesus. Now I say that there's a common plague. A very, very strong and a very deadly plague of false teaching that stems out of the decisionism of the last generation. A plague that falsely comforts men by telling them that as long as there has been a moment of truth, as long as there has been a general call to God for deliverance, that all is well. I say, not so. Not so. And may I put it to you this way? Rampant is the plague of Christless conversions. Men are full of spiritual feelings. They are full of self-assessments. But they have no desire for the Son of God. And let's be honest, this is not a spiritual thing. You don't have spiritual feelings without Christ. For the Spirit of God is that which woos you to Christ, which points you to Christ, creates a desire for the Lamb of God. All in this room know who I'm reading right now, of whose life. And you're going to hear more than one thing stated from this man, J.C. Ryle. Ryle says, if any man desires to serve Christ and be a Christian, he must be content to follow his master, walk in his footsteps, share his lot, do as he did, and partake of his master's inheritance in this world. Let's just take a step back. and ask the question, what was Christ's inheritance in this world? Nothing but his people. My kingdom is not of this world. Else would my servants fight. That's not where the heart of the Lord Jesus is. His heart, underscore this, Christian, the heart of Christ is not on this world. For the man who would follow Jesus, there will be the heart that is like Jesus's. Now, of course, the whole of what I am saying will be completely absent if a man is without faith in Christ. You know, for a man who is outside of Christ, there's really only two responses when you present the name Jesus. It will only come up with two responses. Number one, there will be complete apathy. Or there will be antagonism. But for those that are in Christ, for those of you who truly know the name that you trust in, when you hear the name Jesus, what is your heart response? Unto you which are saved, he is precious. And I say very plainly, to follow Jesus is a desire to be where Jesus is. The soul that lives is the soul that desires to be where Christ is. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. There's a love for Christ. I want to be with Jesus. That's what following means. I will suggest a second thing, a second characteristic, a second description. Following Jesus is a death. It is a death. The words of the Lord Jesus in our text are couched in terms of death, as we have noted. And I say this is not without deep significance. The man that follows Christ is the man that dies to himself and to this world. Maybe you will remember in Matthew chapter 19, there was a young man that came to the Lord Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? What does the Lord say to that young man? I'm going to paraphrase. Sell everything, follow me. What was the response of that young man? Let me put it to you this way. He didn't want to die. He went away sorrowful, for he had great goods. Again, the Lord said to him plainly, if thou wilt be perfect, go sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. The call of Christ was to follow. But there was and has to be a counting of the world and our life as dead. Surely, you might say. The Lord means for us to hold on to some of the things in this life that we enjoy. No. Following Jesus is surrendering all. But I will be miserable. Well, isn't that what the world tells you? You die. You give up everything, you surrender. Oh, it's easy enough. Well, let's back up. How easy is it for you to sing, I surrender all, I surrender all? You don't mean it, do you? I'll be miserable. That word intrigued me as I was thinking about it. Miserable. You know what miserable comes from? It is a compound word made up of two things. miser and able. In other words, it's like this. I will hold on to what I want and will find it makes me absolutely unhappy because it does not bring me what I wanted after all. I will be miserable. I further went the step that I oftentimes do whenever I run into words that intrigue me. I immediately, yesterday evening, went into a personal conference with Mr. Webster. And through his consultation, we came to a common understanding of what the word miserable means. And he says this. He says, miser. A miser is one who lives in discomfort or squalor in order to hoard his wealth. Therefore, miserable means to be extremely unhappy, characterized by wretched discomfort and squalor or suffering. I can't die to the world. I will be one who is completely uncomfortable and unhappy. Well, let me just put it to you this way. The Lord Jesus, in summary form, offers the point with these words from Luke 16, verse 13. He says very plainly, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot follow Christ and live to the world. You cannot follow Christ and hold on to the things that you might think, oh miser, that these things make me happy. These things I enjoy. These are the simple things that I incorporate in my life that bring me some moments of smiling and enjoyment. No, sir. The only thing that can be done to follow Christ is that we are to die to ourselves in the world. So says the Lord. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. What is gained when you die to the world? Finding your life, the Lord Jesus says. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. What do you find when you die to the world? Let me answer that by asking this question. Believer, what is going to be the chief object of your joy and fulfillment throughout the course of eternity? It's not golden streets. It's not seeing angels flying around. It's not having a mansion just over the hilltop. It's not a cabin in some remote corner land of heaven. It's none of these things. It is the person of the Lord Jesus. Christ is all the glory, not some of the glory. Emmanuel is all the glory of his own land. And when you die to the world, what you find is that you're in a place where you can know Christ, which for us is a precious thing beyond price. So I come to you, I ask you plainly, in Jesus' name, have you died? Or are you holding on to the world and its toys? I come to the third thing, following. It is a discipline. It is a discipline. The statement that the Lord Jesus makes is that following him will involve work. Work. There is to be on the part of those who would serve Christ an effort. An effort to serve. But an effort to obey. You know, there are many who would call themselves Christians that are content, and they content themselves with service, or the word that is the trendy word is ministry. but have little desire for the obedience that must accompany it. Oh, I will serve, I will give, I will do all these things. But when it comes to absolutely obeying everything that the Lord Jesus says, now that, they say, is just a little bit too much. You're stepping on my liberty if you do that. J.C. Ryle. A man's knowledge may be small, and his infirmity great. His grace very weak, and his hope dim in his eyes. But he believes what Christ says, and strives to do what Christ commands. Christianity like this receives little esteem from man. It is too thorough, too decided, too strong, too real. To serve Christ in name and form is easy work and satisfies most people. But to follow him in faith and life demands more trouble than the generality of men will take about their souls. Oh, we're plenty ready to acknowledge the Lord Jesus if it doesn't entail any work, if it doesn't cost, if it doesn't demand. Following Christ is work. Paul puts it very plainly that it is a labor. But what is the result of labor that's done in truth and out of love for Christ? What is the end? Is it something that is useless? Is it something that just brings you to defeat? Does it just wear you out and leave you as one that's totally spent? 1 Corinthians 15:58. Every one of you should be able to and probably can quote this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May I say again plainly, to follow Christ is to give yourself to the work that the Lord has for you. No holding back. It is spending and being spent. Oh, you might say, this sounds so tiresome and defeating. The truth is that when all is said and done, we will look at our service and count it a complete loss. Well, it's not in vain. The honest servant, yes, when he gets to look at what he has done, will have to say it wasn't enough. Oh, that I could have done more. Or as Luke 17:10 says, so likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which were commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. But for those, I say, that followed the Lord Jesus, here is a promise. I say, here is a word that is our outlook. Psalm 68, verse 28, thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. When you serve Jesus, you don't serve Jesus by yourself. That's a lie of the devil. When you're spent for Christ, you don't spend just out of your own resources. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What does that entail? Well, that only entails when I cannot pay my electric bill. No, sir. What resources do you need to go forward for the sake and cause of the Lord Jesus? Does not the Lord say that he will supply? To follow is to understand and see that the Lord is with us. You know, whenever you would read through the New Testament, particularly the works of the disciples, and they went forward to do a work for the Lord, did they ever work solely by themselves? Or were there phrases like at the end of Mark, and the Lord went working with them? Are you ever without the Spirit of God as your helper and your sustainer? I will say this, following Jesus is discipline. It is work. Fourth, let me put it to you this way, it is also a determination. It is a determination. Here, the thought is simply this. To follow the Lord Jesus is to disallow all distractions. Let me illustrate. If you are following someone in your car and you are not knowing where you're going per se, but you're just trusting them to lead you in the right direction, you're following along behind, and during your drive, you are totally distracted by your phone, by the radio, by those riding in your car, by those things that you see alongside the road, and you are distracted. What will happen? Where'd he go? Did you see him? Did he make a turn? Which way? What? Oh, did he turn into someplace? Right? Do you know that one of the chief devices of the wicked one is to offer you not great vices necessarily, though we are prone because we are all flesh, but rather to offer you distractions. Oh, this is a legitimate thing, so to speak. There's no harm in this. This actually is a good activity. This is distractions. Distractions. If you say you are following Christ and yet your mind and heart are all taken up with getting or doing or being something, what will happen? I say the message to the rich young ruler had this as a centerpiece. The man was completely taken with the importance of his earthly life and his possessions. And the Lord Jesus, looking at that young man as he walked away, says to his disciples, "And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." But then he makes this statement, in contrast. "And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall receive and shall inherit everlasting life." To follow Christ is a purposed and a determined focus upon the Lord Jesus. So says Paul again. You know these words. Hebrews 12. "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight," or could we put every distraction, "and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Oh, but we say it to ourselves, "I can do all the things I'm attending to. I have compartmentalized my life." You know, That's one of the things that you find in corporate America is a byword. Compartmentalize. Don't bring your personal life here. Don't take your work life there. You know, compartmentalize. No, sir. For the believer, there is no such thing. You cannot compartmentalize. You can't say this part for Jesus, this part for me, this part for family. Well, you can't do that. It is not doable. There is a determination that we will leave the distractions behind. And some of the distractions, we say, these are good and right and beneficial things. We read these verses this morning, Matthew 4, verses 19 and 20, and he saith unto them, coming to these men that he would have to come after him, he says unto them, follow me, the subject that we're dealing with here this morning, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, what does the next verse say? And straightway they left their nets and followed him. They left their nets. Wait a minute. These nets, first, are the means of gainful employment. The benefits of what we get in these nets not only helps us, but helps our family. These nets are hard to come by. It takes industry and time to make these nets and to keep them in the shape they are. These nets are not cheap. It costs. So for us just to say, no more. This is a great big decision. No, it wasn't for them. For the Lord Jesus spoke to their hearts, and they had an eye toward the Son of God. And they said, these things now to us are distractions. That can be proved by the response of Peter and the disciples after the Lord Jesus was crucified, and Peter, not knowing what was going on with the Lord, though he had known that he was risen, doesn't know what's going on. So what's Peter say to his disciples later? I go a fishing. And they say, we're going too. He was distracted by that rather than waiting on the Lord. I don't condemn him for that. In fact, in many ways, there is something about that that you would have to say. There was a step that took him in a way that some needs needed to be met. But there was a looking backward. And the Lord Jesus says as much. Any man having set his hand to the plow and looking backward is not fit for the kingdom of God. The next point. What is following? Well, it is a distinction. It is a distinction. And at this point, I will be very direct and short. If you follow someone as a disciple, you strive to be as he is, to the exclusion of those things that are not what he is. This point, I will tell you, is extremely simple, though it is one that is rejected so often. If you are going to follow the Lord Jesus, your desire is to be what he is and to put away from you, to make a distinct cut from the things that he is not. That is the Christian walk. Do not let men confuse you with the nonsense of today that will try to filter this through the argument of Christian liberty versus legalism. It has nothing to do with it. The man who follows Christ seeks to be what Christ is and disowns what he knows Christ is not. Let me give you an example. Let's just take the example of Hollywood. For many, what I'm about to say is going to be one big ouch. Hollywood. I ask you a question. I ask you very simply. I ask it just very plainly. Are the movies of this world Christ's? What's the answer? Now, I'm not talking about just one arena of entertainment. I'm talking about whatever you face in your life, whether it's your talk, whether it's your views, whether it's your dress, whether it's your goals. Is it Christ's? If I am following Christ, I want to be what He is, and I do not want or to have or to hold what is not His. Well, I think there are things that are harmless that I can enjoy which will not affect me, and I will be less stressed for having watched it. Besides, what you're talking about is legalism. Let's run it backwards. Am I talking about or suggesting to you any law or regulation? Have I made a statement, you cannot do this and you can do that? Has that ever been brought here? My only question was this: is it Christ's? That is my question. That is my point. I end my argument there. You determine before God, is this Christ's? If it's Christ, then I'm a follower. But if it's not Christ, my next question is, do I have any business going after these things? Are you really a follower? My next point is this. It is a deliverance. It is a deliverance. Here my mind brings to remembrance the rescue of Peter from the dungeon when the angel comes and rouses him. The following of that angel was for Peter a deliverance from the enemy and the dangers of their hatred. Very many are the snares that we will be kept from if we follow close to Christ. You know, David had many times when he was in trouble. My question was, how many times did David get in trouble because it was his own making? Because he did not follow the Lord. He didn't ask counsel of the Lord. He just followed his emotions or followed some odd reasoning. Well, the question to ask after that is, how many times did the Lord deliver him out of all of his troubles? David had to come to the point where he called himself this poor man. This poor man cried, and the Lord delivered him out of all his troubles. To follow Christ is for us as the people of God the only place of true safety and peace. And I will put joy as well, which leads me to my last point. And that is this: following, it is a delight. It is a delight. It would sound as if following the Lord Jesus is nothing more than sacrifice and cost. It sounds as if we will be unhappy. And the world will tell you this. Yes. Look at all the things you could be doing and enjoying. Following the Lord Jesus is for His people a delight. For two reasons. First, it sets the heart on Christ. But second, following Christ takes the heart off of ourselves. Do you understand how much happier you would be if you could stop loving yourself quite so much? Do you know how much more happy you'd be if you could love the Lord Jesus even more? My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. That is a statement of blessed promise. That is a statement of joy. Does the Lord Jesus say that? I am come that ye might have and that ye might have it what? Well, you say these two words are are debatable here, preacher. No, sir. There's no debating. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of cost that you're going to be saying this was just too much, or a sacrifice that you would say it was not worth it. I don't think there's ever any of that. To follow the Lord Jesus delivers you from you and allows you to meet with Him. Or, to put it more succinctly, I'll just read Psalm 16 because it says it better than I. Thou wilt show me the path of life. You know, the path of life, does that sort of sound like following? Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are, does anybody know the next three words? Pleasures for a season. Huh? Guilty. I am totally guilty of misquoting. Pleasures forevermore. Now, you will notice that in my line of points, the point, it is a decision, would have fit nicely. And many would say it should have been the first one. However, I will stress that my omission, I am affirming emphatically that following Jesus Christ is not a decision. It is not a decision. It is not a volitional act where there is a weighing and evaluating of the matter. For those who are Christ's, following Jesus is a necessity. I must go where He goes. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. There is a note of they must do this. It's a matter of necessity. There is no choice. For the grace of God binds me to Christ and the faith that He implants in my heart draws me. There is no deliberation. It is simply seeing and obeying. But I come back to my question. Are you really following? That is the point that the Lord makes to these men who say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." The Lord says, it's not just seeing me. It's just not learning about me. It's not just in some way saying that you are in agreement with me that does the work of bringing you home to God. Here's the work. There's dying. There's following. Are you following Christ? Well, may the Lord allow our hearts to hear His word. And may we find ourselves able to do as we are bidden by His grace. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, this day we come to Thee asking for the help and the grace of our God. We would ask that Thou would help us to be those who realize whose we are and what we are called to do. Lord, we would pray that Thou would add grace to grace, that we would find ourselves able to die to this world and to follow closely to the Lord Jesus. Bless us now. Bless this time. Bless Thy word. Lord, let us understand that what we hear today, we hear from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. Bless it then. Use it, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.